Okay. Okay, we are Shloshim Yom, Kodem the Solar Eclipse. We, 30 days, or 31, whatever, depending on your counting, whatever. But August 21st, Havale and Latova, will be a major event in the United States of America to see a total solar eclipse, an event that is rare. What?
What day was it?
August 21st. August 21st. It's coming from the top of the west, the northwest, and coming down on a diagonal down to the southeast. So what we want to discuss is, what does the Torah say about an eclipse in Halacha? And then in Machshava, we'll talk about the one major sugya, which is the Gemara in Sukkah, that talks about a solar eclipse. So we're going to try to focus it on a solar eclipse. There are different sugyas that talk about lunar and things like that. Let's focus on a solar eclipse. And for now, and when there's a lunar eclipse, we'll give a shiur on that. But for now, we'll discuss the solar eclipse. Now, just a quick background, what's going on with the solar eclipse. So when you read all the articles, and if you listen to any of the discussions about it, so they'd like to point out that it's a great coincidence that the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but it's also 400 times further away. So the way that turns out is that when we have the moon directly in front of the sun, it's exactly the same size from our eye. They call it a coincidence. We might call it hashkacha in the way Hashem created the world. But whatever it is, that reality of that distance and that size creates this image that when the moon orbits the earth in an ellipse, so sometimes it's further away and sometimes it's closer to us, and it looks bigger, or getting further away, it looks smaller. So at the smaller size, it doesn't quite cover the sun, meaning everything's going to go around twice, as we go around the earth each year, so it's going to happen twice that the moon's going to pass at that point in front of the sun. At some place on the globe, you're going to have it where the moon is going to be between us and the sun. It has to happen twice as everything moves around. So when it's further away and the moon appears smaller, so that's called an annular eclipse. And when it's closer, so the moon appears larger, so that's called a total eclipse. And essentially the moon stands between us and the sun, and a total eclipse in a person's lifetime is rare, unless you want to go travel. There are people who travel to go see these things. They chase total eclipses, but for the average person who's not moving around that much, to have such an event nearby is a rare occurrence. In 7 years, as I was told by Dr. Zinn, and it's true, it will be in upstate New York, and you can travel there if you don't want to schlep out to the southeast or to the southwest. So whatever it may be, you could do two if you're really into it. But it is a rare event, depending on the person's geography. So let's turn really to what I think is the foremost question in everyone's mind is, does this event get a bracha? Do you make a bracha on witnessing a solar eclipse? So there is a sefer that discusses this. There's a sefer that discusses how we relate in halacha to different phenomena that occur in the world. The sefer is called Shar Ha'ayin. So in Perek Zion, in Halacha Vav and Osid Gimel, he discusses this issue. And he says, essentially, that an eclipse is certainly under the category of Maaseh Breishis. It's within the Briyas HaOlam that this is going to occur, that we're going to come into this circumstance where we see this magnificent event, where the sun is essentially blotted out for a certain amount of time, for a few moments, for minutes, and the temperature drops, the animals go wild because they think that it's nighttime, and the light bends, and all these amazing things occur when this phenomena occurs. So this is certainly Maaseh Breishis. Now, even though we know in advance it's going to occur, but it's no less significant or no less amazing than thunder and lightning, he says, right? We're used to thunder and lightning, but we're not used to a solar eclipse. That's certainly also an amazing thing to observe as well. He cites here a beautiful piece from the Chovos HaLevavos in the Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh in Perek Gimel, in Cheshbon Chaf Gimel. The Chovos HaLevavos talks about 30 or so things that a person should always reflect upon in his life. And the Chovos HaLevavos writes as follows: B'chol ma sheyesh ba'olam mikatnei habrios ugdolehem. Whatever we have in the world, whether it's the smallest creation to the biggest creation, umalos hamadabrim bo, umadregos habruim betachtonu elyonim, things that are above and below, utachonos hagalgalim, or in the all the things, the planets that are moving around, utnos hashemesh v'hareach, and the movements of the sun and the moon, v'kochavim ha'umdim v'holchim, and the stars or the planets that come and go, v'yiridas ha'geshamim, and the rain, v'neshivas ha'ruchos, and the wind, v'yitzias ha'vlad min ha'recham, or a child being born. These are places where we reflect on niflos habore, and that Hashem creates the world in the most miraculous and amazing way for us to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is one of the things that we should constantly think about, says the Chavos of Avos, to look at nature, the biggest things to the smallest things, the things that are common and the things that are rare. And says the Chavos of Avos, Hashem Ashreya Reach, isn't what occurs when we have the moon in this rare occurrence blotting out the sun for those few minutes something that should bring a cheshvan hanefesh, niflos haborek. It happens to be that it's 400 times larger and it's also 400 times the distance away. That's something very amazing that Hashem set up within the creation of the world. And this would seem to support the idea that a solar eclipse is in the same category as thunder and lightning. However, we do not find this within the poskim. It is quoted in the Orchos Rabbeinu Chelek Aleph on page Tzadi Hey in the name of the stifler. I'll read it. I didn't bring it over here on the sheets, but he says, Alikoi chama la mevarchim kach. You don't make a bracha on a solar eclipse, he says. This is what my Rebbe told me, Zecher Tzadik Lekarish Levracha, B'Shvat Tavshin Mem. So it was sometime in 1980, where it was Shehaya Lakoi chama. There was a partial eclipse, and there was a question about maybe we should make a bracha, and the stifler said, no, we don't make a bracha on a solar eclipse. And then later on in his sefer, the Shar HaAyin, what?
Partial, because the partial would be different.
Seemed to say, in general, we don't make, on Likoi Chama, on an eclipse. On a solar eclipse, you don't make a bracha. And later on, he says that he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who explained there's no bracha because it's not a Simen Tov. As we'll see in the moment from the Gemara, is the solar eclipse represents something that's negative. So, but the author notes this is a tzarachian because the halacha is we make a bracha on acts of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that are simin klala as well. We make a bracha. We see a rainbow. We know the rainbow also represents something that's negative. So it's hard to understand what that reason is. So later on, he quotes Rav Azun, who leaves the matter as a tzarachian. Rav Azun not sure if you should make a bracha on this. And so therefore, the Shara Ayin writes that nobody seems to say you should make a bracha. We don't go around making brachos on things that we're definitely not sure about or we have no record of. And therefore, one would not make a bracha on a solar eclipse. I saw the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Igros Kodesh in his letters in Chelek Tesvav on page 260. He writes to the person who wrote to him, Yadua HaKlal, we know the rule, Asher Ein L'Chadesh Bracha Shalohuskru B'Shas. We don't make a bracha on things we don't find in Shas, at least, there's a question. We find the Gaon and maybe new brachos, things like that. But we don't come up with new brachos. We don't find anyone making a bracha on a solar eclipse before, says Lubavitcher Rebbe. So we shouldn't make a bracha one at this point as well. He adds that the reason we don't make a bracha on an eclipse is because Simen l'Peronios Haba. Because as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, it's talking about referencing something negative, as we find in this Gemara in Sukkah.
But in the Gemara side, the problem is they didn't know in
advance. We'll discuss the Gemara and the what comes out of the Gemara in a moment. And then he says, fine. And then finally, I saw Rav Chaim David Halevi, who is the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He writes in his Shavuos HaTshuvas Aseh L'Charav in Chelek Hei in Siman Zayin. He explains that brachos on phenomenon are Maisa Breishis Mamish. And apparently, Chazal didn't see an eclipse as something that was Maisa Breishis, and therefore they did not enact such a bracha. However, he says, nowadays we know that the cycle of an eclipse is certainly Maisa Breishis, and he feels that maybe we should make a bracha. But then, Rav Chaim David Halevi stops short and he says, but we don't find such a bracha. We don't take Hashem's name in vain without a real reason to do so, and therefore person can say Tehillim, he says. You can say, there's a tefillah written in one of some of the old Sfarim to say by a solar eclipse, but you shouldn't go and make up a new bracha using Shem Hashem. But nevertheless, it certainly is something that is amazing to see, but we would not make a bracha on it. So, whoever.
Is Shechayonu on it?
No, we wouldn't make a Shechayonu on something like that either. Even by, we say Birchas HaChama, we don't, that's the once every 29 years, we don't make a shot on that as well.
That's more
clear. What? But yeah, so is this. So this is also
a I've been around for a few Birchas HaChamas. I've been close to complete every.
That's just you live in the wrong locations. That's.
No, I'm saying the point is I've, because the actual solar eclipse full totality is only a few miles. I've been in 99, 98%.
Yeah, so I hear, but we don't. So whatever it is, we don't make brachas where we don't find a source to make a bracha. It's not a reason to not go. You should certainly go and try to see it, but it would not come with a bracha according to kimat all the poskim. I saw no one say that one should make a bracha on this. Okay, now there's something I did not see anyone talk about, but I think it seems to make a lot of sense. If you look here in the Sefer Chasidim and Os Reish Lamed, so Rav Yehuda HaChassid writes, Adam roa mo ros lokim. If a person sees the things in the stars being eclipsed, there's some sort of affliction. And there, that language of Chazal is the affliction, it was hit. But we understand some sort of an eclipse on something in the sky. Could go livana, like the moon. Sarach lesanos, you have to fast. We fast if we have a bad dream. And if we know that these eclipses represent something negative, so then we should fast as well if it affects the entire world. This is Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes, and this is Said LaHalacha by the Magen Avraham in the Halachas in Tuf Kuf Pei, which is the Halachas of times that we fast. And the Magen Avraham says you should fast when you see an eclipse on the moon. And this is cited by the Mishabu as well. Now it's unclear why you wouldn't apply it to a sun as well. The Sefer Chasidim said, on all likui ma'oros, and all afflictions that occur, on all eclipses that occur, something in the sky, you should fast because of what the Gemara says it represents. And he gives an example as levana, as moon. But according to Sefer Chasidim, which is cited by the Magen Avraham, the Mishabura, there seems to be an inyan to fast on August 21st, if you experience it. It's hard to say why not. I'm not sure. I hadn't seen anyone argue that you shouldn't, and the Mishabura clearly says that you should, and no one seems to go against this halacha, so I don't know. The people see the solar eclipse on August 21st. Seemingly, there should be an inyan to fast, unless someone can show me otherwise. Next, other halachas pertaining to this, we know in Parshas Yisro, the Seras Adibros say, Lo sasu niti Elohei Kesav Elohei Zav, Lo sasu lachem, right? You shouldn't make any images of Hashem. And also, as the Gemara Shoshana learns out, which is the Gemara talking about the different images of the moon, so the Gemara says it's not proper to make images of the celestial beings as well, because this is leads to or is in the footsteps of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, this is the minhag that we don't make images. And then there's all types of discussions about children in school, and they make suns, and how do they do that, and are we allowed to draw suns, only 3D, all these types of issues. But I want to cut to the chase here, and talk about, well, if it's for educational purposes, then we do allow it, because that's what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is talking about, that Ram Liel would have images of what the moon would look like, and people would ask people, is this Rosh Chodesh, is this Rosh Chodesh, in order to get them to know if it was a proper moon to declare Rosh Chodesh. So we see for educational purposes, it is allowed. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two is, are you allowed to retain such an image of something you're not allowed to create? For example, let's say somebody makes an image, a bust of a person. You're not allowed to make a full image of a human being. So let's say you didn't make it, can you retain it? So that's also a sheet within the poskim as well, that maybe we're leaning to retain it. So with combining those two ideas together, so they quote from the Rabbi Bleich, and this is in the Journal of Halacha from a few years ago, and this is a whole article written about retaining and keeping and drawing pictures of celestial beings and human beings. So he quotes as follows. If we assume the prohibition of Shehiyah, retaining the item, to be binding even nowadays, how can one purchase a newspaper with a picture of a sun, peruse an astronomy book, or own a doll in human likeness? The Meiri quoted above extends the leniency of Lehitla Meid to learn to astronomy and would permit owning books with pictures of the sun, moon, and stars for educational purposes. Rabbi J. David Bleich proposes that the Shach's aforementioned leniency for images in Machzorim reflects a broader definition of Lehitla Meid, possibly allowing one to retain any image that has some minimal educational value. For example, wrote Rabbi Bleich, perhaps a picture of a lunar eclipse in a newspaper serves to educate us about the phenomenon. So, if one wants to go to the solar eclipse and take videos and pictures, whatever it may be, so one could say this is educational, could show your family what you experience, and one would have a leniency here to retain, perhaps even take pictures of these things. But I don't want to get caught up in the pictures of the celestial beings right now. Let's move on to, the last halacha I saw recently is Rabbi Yishaya Rothenberg. Yishaya Rothenberg is a posek, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. So he has a sefer called Minchas Pri on a bunch of different masachas. He has a sefer Masachas Nida. So he wants to discuss, let's say a woman becomes a Nida during a solar eclipse. So does the Veset, the time where she has to be careful and separate from her husband, is that considered a daytime Veset now or is a nighttime Veset? So he wants to argue, perhaps, that because we know that sometimes when the woman has When a woman becomes a nidor, she has a vest, so it can depend on whether the sun or the moon are now. It can affect by whether it's daytime or nighttime and the appearance of the sun or the moon. So he says maybe since the moon came out, we would call that a nighttime one. He thinks that's a very creative discussion. He says, halacha l'maaseh, it's not a problem. So if in those few moments a woman does become a nidah, what during a solar eclipse, it probably would consider that the daytime and not the nighttime. Let's move now to the machshava. I don't think there's any more halacha connected to it. Let's turn now to the main sugya, which is the Gemara in Sukkah. Let's everyone turn over here. It's not that long a Gemara. We can get through the whole thing. Tanu Rabbanan, it was taught in a Braisa. Why is this in Maseches Sukkah? Because the previous Gemara was talking about when it rains on Sukkahs, and it's a simen klala. It's a bad sign for Klal Yisrael when it rains on Sukkos. So since we're talking about bad things for the Jewish people, says the Gemara, let's talk about eclipses. So, Tanu Rabbanan, we were taught in a Braisa, Bizman Shehacham Aloka, when there is a solar eclipse, this is simen ra l'chol olam kulo, this is a bad sign for the entire world. Mashal l'ma d'aradoma, what is this similar to? L'melech basar v'dam, like a king of flesh and blood, Shiasa Sudala Vadav, who is making a field for his feast for his servants, Viniach Panas, and he put a menorah, some sort of candle, out with them before them. And afterwards, when they did the wrong thing, Kas Aleim, the king got upset at them. V'yamar loved it. He said to his servants, Tol Panas Mipneim V'choshchem V'choshech. Take the lamp away, and you should sit in darkness. And so too with the sun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun to light up the world for us. And when he has an eclipse and it doesn't light up anymore, it's a simon that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is upset with the world. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Omer Rav Meir said, Kol Zman Shema Oro Slokin, whatever we see that the celestial beings have an eclipse, simon ra, l'sonei Mishal Yisrael, it is a bad sign for the enemies of the Jews. That is Lashon Sagi Nahar. That is a, it's not, it means actually the Jewish people, it's bad for the Jews. Mipnei Shemalom Dim B'mako Sehen, meaning because they're getting patched, right? For all the different things that they're doing wrong amongst the nation, more than the rest of the world. And therefore, since we have to be more careful because we have a close relationship with Hashem, so even though it's bad for the rest of the world, it's also more bad for us as well. Mashallah is so fair. It's like a person who's teaching the children, Shabbala Beis HaSefer, who comes to the school, Verutsu B'yado, and he has the strap in hand in order to hit the children. Midoy, who's upset that they're going to get hit? Mishuragalil kos b'chol yom v'yomodoy. When the child sees the Rebbe coming with the strap, the kid who's always good, or he doesn't get hit, so he doesn't care because he knows it's not for him. But the Jewish people who are often at the brunt of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because for us we are Kadosh Baruch Hu's children, Hashem treats us with the most severe way, so we should be most nervous when we see something like an eclipse. Tanu Rabbanan was taught in a Braisa again. Bizman Shacham Aloka, when there is a solar eclipse, Simin Ra La'ovdei Kochavim, it's bad for the Goyim. Levana, if it's a lunar eclipse, Loka, so then Simin Ra L'sonei Mishal Yisrael, it's bad for the Jewish people themselves. Why? Rivnei Shiyisrael Moda Levana, because we count according to the moon. We look at the lunar calendar in order to run our lives. Ba'ovdei Kochavim Lechama, and the nations of the world, they use the solar eclipse, and therefore the solar eclipse is bad for them, and the lunar eclipse is really worse for us. And then the Braisa continues, when there is a Loka B'Mizrach, when there is a solar eclipse and it occurs in the east, right? Meaning in the morning, when it's coming up in the morning. So that is Simin Ra L'Yoshe Mizrach. That's bad for the people who live in the east, when it's rising up by then, more than if they lived in the west. Okay? B'Ma'arav, and then in the west. Simin Ra L'Yoshe Ma'arav, if it occurs in the evening, so that's bad for the people who live on the west side of the eclipse. B'Em Sarakia, if it happens at midpoint during the day, Simin Ra L'Chol Olam Kulo, it's bad for the entire world. And then says the Gemara, if there's a solar eclipse, panav domin ledam. So if the face looks like blood in the sun, meaning the face of the sun looks like blood, so that is cherev balolam. That means there's going to be destruction in the world. Lesak, if the face of the sun is black, so something like that. So chatzi rav bayim olam means that there's going to be famine in the world. And then it says, lo zuv, lo zuv, lo zuv, it's both and both. Cher v'chitzei rabba olam, there's going to be war, and there's going to be famine for everyone. Laka b'knisaso. If there's a solar eclipse when at Shkia, when it's setting, so that's peronios shoa lavo, it means it's going to wait. It's going to come, but it's not going to come so soon. b'tziya. So if it's coming when it's come, if the eclipse comes when it's the sun's rising in the morning, the meheres level, that means the bad things are going to come quickly. The yeshom chiluf tvarim, and another opinion says flip it around. If it's early, it's going to be. If it's early in the morning, it's going to be later, and if it's in the night, that means it's coming sooner. Ve'in lecha kol uma v'uma shaloka she'en aleha. There's no god. There's no nation that's going to be hit that doesn't have a sar in Shemayim that's going to be in charge of them, that's going to go before a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Loka imash ne'amar v'b'chol hei Mitzrayim aseh shvatimayim. I'm even going to hit the Elohei Mitzrayim. I'm going to hit the gods of Mitzrayim when we have such events as well. U'bizman shi solos in Ritzon Shemakom. When the Jewish people are doing the Ratzon Hashem, ein misyarin mikol elu. You don't have to worry about any of these eclipses. Shne'amar, ko'amar Hashem, Komar Hashem El Derech Hagoyim Al Tzal Meduma Usos Hashemayim Al Tzachtu Ki Yechtu Hagoyim Mehema, meaning that don't learn from the non-Jews and act like them. And if we don't act like them, so then we'll be saved. Only the Goyim will have to be scared, but the Jewish people won't be scared if we don't act in the ways of the non-Jews. One last point, Tan Rabbanan, they taught in a Braisa, Bishvil Arba Dvarim, because of four things. We have Chamaloka, we have a solar eclipse. Al-Av Beistin Shemes Ve'eno Nisbad Kahalacha. When one of the Dayanim died and he wasn't given a proper eulogy, a woman who was being attacked, who was being raped, and no one came to save her. Ve'al Mishkav Zachar, for homosexual relations, and two brothers who were killed together. This is what the Gemara says. So obviously this Gemara says, Darshani, what is going on here? And the most obvious question is what? We know for over 1,000 years, we know that the sun moves in a cycle and the solar eclipse can be predicted. We know when they're going to come, and therefore it's not coming because of our actions. There's a cycle and it occurs. It's part of Bias Olam. It's Maisib Rishis, as we said before. It should technically could get such a brach of Osem Maisib Rishis because it's part of Bias Olam. So what is the Gemara talking about over here? There are a number of Mahalchim within the Rishonim and the Achronim. We're going to hit some of the highlights and some of the more interesting explanations. The Iyun Yaakov writes here in the Iyun Yaakov that that at the moment there's a Simin Ra, meaning the Gemara in Shabbos Kufin Vav says, right, if a person is born under Madim, under Mars, so it means that A, B, and C is going to happen to the person, right? It's a Simin Ra at that time. So does that mean that, obviously Mars is going to be in the sky at the same time, no matter what. It's always going to be at the height of the, astrological signs, at a certain cycle. So says Iyun Yaakov, what it means is, okay, at that time, when it occurs, it's going to be a Simin Ra. In Achinami, it could be both. It is on a cycle, and when it occurs, it's bad news for the Jews. Both realities can exist at the same time. The Radvaz says it's only talking about if it's an unplanned eclipse. What is the Radvaz talking about? I don't know, because we don't know such things as an unplanned eclipse. So we have to see what the Radvaz would be talking about. Rav Yonas and Ibishitz in the Aros Dvash and Drush Beis and Chalik Beis, he has difficulty with this Gemara as well, and he wants to say as follows. He says, first of all, what we call a solar eclipse is not what the Gemara is talking about. I misled you for the last 10 minutes. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara, Likuli Chama, is either, I think, there's two things it could be talking about. Either sunspots, where the sun darkens at certain points, or if you're looking at the sun, you can see that the sun darkens at certain points, so that could be Likuli Chama. It's unclear why that would be something bad. Or it could be sometimes when the planets traverse as well. But we also know when the planets traverse. A few years ago, Venus went across the sun during the day. So unclear again what Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz would be referring to exactly at this time.
Does he know what solar storms are?
What?
Because like last week, it was a moderate solar storm. We have the strong ones, really a bit, very dangerous thing.
Yeah. So
last week was a 2. If we had a 5, we'd sway our electrical.
That would be terrible. So I'm not sure what exactly what he's referring to.
Because the sun actually changes. You can tell with telescopes, you can actually tell the sun.
What's going on? So Rav Yaakov Ellinger in his Arach Laner Masech HaSukkah, he has a very beautiful explanation also. He says, it's long, so I'm just going to say it outside. So he quotes Rashi in Bereishis and Perek Aleph, right on the fourth day of creation on Wednesday. So we know that Rashi says that Wednesday is predisposed to illness. That's what Rashi says in the Chumash, that Wednesday is not good for being sick. So even though the day occurs in a natural cycle, it's still associated with difficulty, right? There's going to be Wednesday every 7 days, right? No one's arguing that. So we see even within the Briyas HaOlam, there can be things that are on a cycle that have a disposition towards negativity. Even Rashi says this in the beginning of Bereishis. Similarly, the Chachamim knew that there's a cycle. There's a cycle. It's going to happen logically that the eclipses are going to occur. And those times are times of judgment. Meaning, flip it around. Those times when there's an eclipse are times of judgment. Because Hashem set it up within the Briyas HaOlam that these are times we should be concerned about ourselves. And therefore, it's possible for an eclipse to be both natural and also a bad omen at the same time. Then he says, how does this fit with the idea that the sun is diminished, or there's likui chama for four different types of averos? So he says, how does this fit if it's connected to an avera? Right? If a person violates these four sins, so what does that have to do with the cycle? So Rabbi Yaakov Ellinger says that the Gemara doesn't mean that these averos have to be committed in order for there to be an eclipse. That's not what the Gemara means. That if a person doesn't give a hesped for the avbeisin, then next week there's going to be an eclipse. That's not what the Gemara means to say. The Gemara means that during the period of an eclipse, retroactively, all of those events where we didn't act properly are times where we're going to be judged. Those are times where we tally up all the averos of those four averos, and those are times of judgment, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to mete out punishment or make a cheshbon, whatever it is, for those four averos that occurred in the past. Not that it causes the eclipse, but those are times of midas hadin that one should be concerned and scared of. And the Aruch HaNer proves this, in fact, from the lashon of the Gemara, right? Because the Gemara says, bizman, at the time when the eclipse occurs. What does that mean? That there's a zman, there's a set time. Chazal know that there's a zman. A zman means that it's already set within the rotation. And this is the explanation of the Aruch HaNer. These are established times, and established times of midas hadin. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful drasha in the Drash Moshe, in the drashas of the end, in Drush Beis, where he speaks at length about the Gemara, and he says that the pashuk shot of the Gemara is al derech drush. The Gemara is not making a scientific explanation over here. The Gemara is not making a statement about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment and the stars and the moon and the sky. Says Rav Moshe, it's all derech drush. And he has a beautiful explanation where he says essentially, shortening a much longer piece, Rav Moshe says, that the sun represents physicality, the turning after pleasure and the turning towards taiva and timing in this world. And says Rav Moshe Feinstein that Hashem set it up within the Briyas HaOlam that we sometimes need reminders to know that if you pursue pleasure too much in this world, things are going to go dark. Every once in a while, Hashem set up in the world that we should see, oh, the sun that represents power and strength and all goodness that comes into this world, that gives us warmth and light and food and all those things, says Rav Moshe, you need to know every once in a while, too much is not a good thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will black it out for a little bit, so we should remind ourselves to not pursue the physical baseness and the physical pleasures of this world too much. He explains in a much longer piece, but that's the general idea. The Maharal also, in the Ber Hagola, in Ber Vav, has a very famous piece on this Gemara, and he there discusses the science and Chazal and Midrashim and Agada and all these different concepts. It's about 25 pages in Rabbi Hartman's edition from the Maharal, so we're not going to go through it right now, but essentially the main purpose of the Maharal is that if there was no sin in the world, if there was no Aveira in the world, then there wouldn't be an eclipse. He also flips it around. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with an eclipse because there's Aveira in the world. And if there was no Aveira in the world, if we wouldn't have sinned by Chet HaEgel and by Chet HaAdam HaRishon, so then all of the skies would be different and the whole situation would be different. The reason we have an eclipse is because we're in a 5-degree tilt between us and the sun, and that's why it occurs that way. There would be no tilt, and therefore everything would be clear and there would be no eclipse. That's how the Maharal explains it. Two last interesting pieces that are not in Machshava and that are not in Halacha, but two interesting things regarding the eclipse. The first is Rav Menachem Kasher in the Torah Shleim on Parshas Bo, in the Miluim in the back, in his notes on Makas Choshech. So he cites a number of scholars who wanted to say that they did research and they went back in time and they looked and they saw, they did all the calculations, that during Makas Choshech was a solar eclipse. And that's what Choshech was in Mitzrayim, and that was the Makkah. And they wanted to say it was all a natural event and there was no miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he cites, sorry, he doesn't say who. He says that there's a Mechaber who says it. I think the Mechaber is of Yosef Shaul Nathanson in his Divrei Shaul and Parshas Bo. Look at what the Divrei Shaul writes. Lo ro ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav, shlosh esamim. The Mitzrim could not get up for 3 days. Ulechol b'nei Yisrael, hayor b'mosh osam. But all the Jewish people had light where they lived. Lefinas daiti akavana, what does the Torah mean here? Sometimes it will happen, right, that the solar eclipse is in one location and not another. You can't bifurcate the solar eclipse in one location. It's either occurring here or it's not occurring here. You can't split it up.
If the Mitzrim had darkness and the Jewish people could see, this must have been the act of Hashem.
The Torah is going out of its way to tell you that right where the Jewish people were, they had light. The Jewish people walked around, they had light. It can't be that the Jew and the Mitzrim were standing next to each other and it was a solar eclipse where they walked.
Because Hertz tries to do the exact reverse. He tries to claim apologetics. I think in 1925, he says in Manhattan, he gives an example in his first Chumash and the Yom Kippur, that they were like self-assured place that was light and warm.
So that certainly fits Dr. Hertz's
data. Either way, one way you say they couldn't,
you can,
way
you
say,
can split the Pasuk each way. I hear.
But there's no solar eclipse that lasts 3 days.
That's true. That's probably the biggest riot against that idea. We know of no solar eclipse that lasts 3 days. Finally, just a beautiful piece from the Adaras, for Cook's father-in-law, Rav Elio David Tumim, in his diary. He wrote a diary, kind of like an autobiography, called Nefesh David. And in Oz Samach Al, he tells us about one area that he felt he succeeded in his Avodas Hashem. But Rosh Chodesh El Tov Resh Mem Zayin. It was Rosh Chodesh El in 1887. Hayisi Beir Zambrava Ubabokir Erev Shabbos Kodesh Hayazliku Yicham Klalist. It was a total eclipse. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Rosh Chodesh El that year in 1887. Bani Palalti Az Imatzibur. I was davening with the Tzibur. Uveterem Gamarti Brachas Gal Yisrael. I just finished the Brach of Gal Yisrael, ready to start Shmon Esrei. Reisi Shatzi Porim Nichnasim Lekaneham. The birds were flying back to their nests. Vor machshechas v'holed, that it was getting darker and darker. He was in the middle of witnessing a solar eclipse. Everyone's going crazy. B'chol zos hiskabarti al ritzoni. I overcame my desire. Liros hishalik l'chama, to see the solar eclipse. The kama who and what it was going to be. V'segarti and I closed my eyes. Kedarki me'odil hispalabay naim skuros until shema. So in my minag was to daven with my eyes closed during Shmoneh Esrei. Uve eis hashlamti tilasi, when I finished my Shmoneh Esrei, kvar tama eis halikoi vayor karoi, and the solar eclipse had finished, and it was normally light. Shehaisa kvar as shah shishis vavok, it was already the 6th hour of the morning. Batalti ritzoni mipnei kvod Hashem Yisrael Shema. I was proud of myself, because it was the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it was either pay attention to the solar eclipse, or daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I closed my eyes, and I overcame the tahara to see the solar eclipse, and I davened to Hashem, and I focused on davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he felt that that was his accomplishment. I guess you could figure out how long the Adar Shmoneh Esrei was, if you know how long the solar eclipse lasts.
Well, so
you
can, only 2-3 minutes.
What?
The totality is only 2-3 minutes.
So, no, I'm saying from the start to the end, from C1 to C2 to C3 to C4, there's more than that.
The real thing is the totality.
It's Rosh Chodesh El this year, too.
It is?
It's the day before.
Right? Maybe it's 2 days of Chodesh, 1 day of Chodesh, I don't know. But we see that we have experiences of solar eclipse in Chazal and our Gedolim. So, this is certainly, as we said, Maisa Bracious. I would encourage whoever can and is able
to go see this very amazing event. People say it's quite something to behold. And to see Niflo Savore, I think I only have to say the first part of the story of Rav Shimshon Nachman Hirsch going to see the Alps. We all know the second part of the story. So this is an opportunity if a person is able to. You know the story of Shimshon Nachman Hirsch in the Alps? Rav Hirsch went to visit the French Alps or the Swiss Alps, whatever side it was. He said, "Where are you going? Waste of time to go see the Alps." So Rav Hirsch said, this is what they say to Rav Hirsch said, that when I go to a Kaddish Baruch Hu 120 years, he's going to say, "Shimshon, you see my Alps, you see the Niflos Havara I created for you to enjoy this world." So this is an opportunity. If a person can, they should. If not, then...
Is that the second part?
I'm saying that. I wasn't going to say the punchline, but...